For the last 35 years, my home at Mountain Range has been the Colorado Sangre de Cristo. It's a tall, thin, straight-running range, 80 miles long, with 9 peaks above 14,000 feet. And as mountains go, it's quite young, so still jagged and dramatic. My other mountain home is the one I carry around in my head, made up partly of memories, partly of the history of ideas about mountains, inherited from multiple and conflicting traditions, Asian, European, and American. This often takes the form of a struggle between those for whom only walking and climbing provide true knowledge of mountains, and those for whom such bodily experience is merely preparation for a true understanding. A debate in which, as a walker, poet, and lover of geology, I can't help but take both sides. This poem, though firmly set on my home ground, carries the voices of the great Scottish walker and writer Nan Shepherd and John Ruskin, the 19th century's most perceptive theorist of mountain meaning. In the 15th chapter on infinity, try to arrest one detail. A cobble of quartz in cemented silt, perhaps, or moss campion, what Nan Shepherd called the clumps of silence. For the touch of a pen lends great transparency to shadows. That's Ruskin, who helped us see mountains move. You look as if you've seen a ghost, somebody said, as I tried to count waves in a cliff face, the perfectly transparent story of a fault block uplift range 2 to 3 miles above sea level. A fault block uplift range, that is, from which the first billion years of Earth history are missing. Wield the brush lightly is good advice, for color must not be dragged about and disturbed. Where color has been dragged about, otherwise known as a thrust fault in sedimentary rock, a confusion of pebbles, cobbles, clasts, bound each to each in a matrix of gravel, all fed on water, then broken up, uplifted, intertongued. And the quicker a line is drawn, the lighter it is at the ends, meaning more easily joined with other lines, more easily joined as rippling sedimentary beds, rainbowed purple, gray, blue, that high wavy rock on Crestone Peak, or vertical caves above the Swift Creek crossing, reduced on a map to heavy black lines with teeth pointing upward toward the cliff, or what geologists call a hanging wall. On what geologists call a hanging wall, what appears to be pointed is always curved, with lines of escape for rock, water, cloud. Lines of escape means talus everywhere, world of grief. Believe it when it's underfoot, or found in an old field notebook, my handwriting, Ruskin's words. All distant color is pure color. Any failure there will at once do away with all remoteness. A terrible price, to begin with Nan Shepherd's hummocky snow, or was it sea, rise to the level of pure and terrible streams, wind up with sun on snow means a sunburned throat. When care is at fault, Ruskin replies, a little carelessness will help. But chance will not help us with the mountain, its fine and faintly organized edge, its families of ridges, its sweet moraines, entirely composed of heaps of stones, where at times you catch below your feet a glint of water, a trace. Water has no darkness, Shepherd says, not even in its most appalling quality, its strength. Not even when it fingers down a dark hornblende, gabbro to gneiss, a green-black metamorphic rising in a headwall the size of a city, skirted with muscovite, chlorite, epidote, green, and more green, pebbles and cobbles among gray granite, rose quartz, and a pale tonalite thrust to the very top of a peak. There is no poem here called Lines of Rest, no exercise labeled Hill Color, just bullying winds and a list of facts, the wreckage of ancestral mountains where light and a state of being are facts. Slaty crystallines, slaty coherence, is this not marvelous, Ruskin declared, of a world built on propositions? One is companioned, though not in time, she wrote of tracks and rocks, and once, peering into a lake, I thought it shallow because I could see its depths.